Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Joe. Listen, I want to say this to the moms. Each of you has blessed us in so many ways, whether it be through your compassion towards us, whether it be through your wisdom. We just want to thank you so much for your heart as moms. We really do appreciate you. And if you didn't get a gift when you came in, make sure that you get your gift before you leave this morning. And I would really be remiss if I didn't personally thank two moms that are super important to me. First, of course, is my mom, who I know will hear this, be listening to this. Mom, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. And also to the woman that walks beside me every day, and I have watched as she has shown our girls what it looks like to be a fierce woman, a woman who loves Jesus with all of who she is, and I'm so grateful for her walking beside me and getting to watch how she loves our daughters. Thank you, Sparky. I love you. All right, so as parents, it's really weird because, you know, it used to be where Emily and I, we would see pictures and we'd reminisce of the girls whenever they were little and we'd share them to each other and, you know, it'd be like, oh gosh, I miss when they were that little. They were so cute. I loved them, right? Now we're in this like group thread with our children and so we share the pictures and they start saying stuff like that. Oh my gosh, I was so little. And, like now what's really funny is that Karis, our oldest, is actually shorter than our third, Rebecca. She's kind of the taller one. And so they talk about that all the time. Or all of them will look at the pictures when they were really little. And they used to be, I promise, they used to be blondies, okay? They used to be blonde-haired. And now their hair's gotten all dark. And they'll be like, gosh, our hair's gotten so dark. We just look so much different. Because, as we know, they're going to grow. They're going to mature, right? That's the goal, truthfully, of parenthood, is for us to send our children off as mature and responsible adults. That's what we want. And the truth is, that's the same way that it should be for us as the church. We should be growing, we should be maturing. And this morning, we're going to look at the second habit that we have as a church, and that is in us growing and maturing as followers of Jesus. And if you haven't been with us, we're right in the middle, actually, of a series that we've been doing called Family Reunion. And we've just been looking at who we are as a church, as community fellowship. And the first Sunday of our series, we talked about our mission. And our mission is this: a family of faith growing together to show Christ's love to all. That's what we want to be about. And then last week, with all of our crazy wild weather and having to shift from being at the park to being back over here, we talked about our first habit. And our first habit was that we gather faithfully as worshipers, giving honor and worth to Jesus as our Lord, Savior, and King. And today, like I said, we're going to look at our second habit, which is to grow continually as devoted disciples through committed Bible study, Spirit-led prayer, and authentic community. And just like last week, we're going to break this apart. But before we do that, would you turn with me to the book of Acts? We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 42. There's also Bibles in front of you, or you can pull out your phone. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the book of Acts is often called the Acts of the Apostles, but I think a more appropriate name is actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because as Luke is recording this detailed history of the church's growth and the church's movement, we see that it's only through the Holy Spirit's work that the church actually does grow, because he's working through the people. And this passage that we just read is much about that growth for the early church, the earliest of ones, the earliest of the church. In fact, these are the people who responded to Peter's message on the day of Pentecost and what's going on. And we see that they're gathering faithfully. Dramatic pause. Remember our first habit? Okay, just making sure you see that. So they're gathering faithfully, and we see that they are devoting themselves to a few things. Did you see that in the passage? It says they're devoting themselves to these things: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the Lord's Supper, and prayer. So those are the four things that they're devoting themselves to. Now, I have a quick question for you. What would you call any living thing that stops growing? You know what you would call it? Dead. That's exactly right. You'd call it dead, right? Because every living thing is supposed to grow. It's supposed to grow. And it's no different for us who have a faith in Jesus Christ. It's a living faith that we have, and we should be growing in our faith. We should be growing in our faith. Sometimes that's in your understanding of who Jesus is. Sometimes that's understanding and growing in who you are. Understanding who you are. And sometimes that's in the mercy and grace and love that we give towards other people and who they are. But we're growing all the time. We should always be growing as followers of Jesus. Now, a few weeks ago, Miss Kathy gave me one of the highest compliments that you can give a pastor teacher. She said, she was introducing me to somebody who had come to our church for the first time. And she said, and I always learn something from Pastor James's messages. Listen, if you want to get on my good side, first, breakfast tacos. Second, tell me that you learned something in my message, okay? So it absolutely just incredible. But the part that's next is the part I want you to get. She goes, and that's something because I've been in the church for a really long time. Because Miss Kathy understands something. She's supposed to continue to grow in her understanding and in her faith. It was an incredible example of what this is supposed to look like. We're supposed to keep on growing. I love what one commentator actually said on this Acts passage specifically about them continuing to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Here's what he said. We should count it a wasted day when we do not learn something new and when we have not penetrated more deeply into the wisdom and grace of God. A wasted day if we haven't grown in our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, yeah, I know I need to, but how? I'm so glad you asked that question. That leads us to the next part of our habit. And it's going to sound a little bit redundant from what I just said, but I want you to listen carefully, okay? Because at Community Fellowship, we believe you need to grow continually. Continually. It doesn't stop. You know, at our old house in Katy, we have these shrubs that were in our front flower bed. And they were the most amazing shrubs you've ever seen. I don't know what they are. I don't have a green thumb. Emily doesn't have a green thumb. But over the last few years, you know, we've had these really hard freezes, right? And we don't have the greenest thumb. We never covered them like you're supposed to. We thought they were goners. We're like, oh, man, they're dead. They're gone, right? And it wasn't until, actually, I think it was a mower. No, it was a tree guy. A tree guy came to cut one of our trees down. And he goes, hey, do you want me to kind of trim this back? They're still growing. We're like, what? We thought they were dead. No, no, they're not dead. Man, they just kept on coming back. They didn't give up. They didn't give up. And that's true of what our faith in Jesus should look like. We shouldn't give up. Keep persisting. Listen, faith gets hard. It does. Faith gets hard. Maybe you're having a difficult time right now connecting the Old Testament passages that seem like there's this different God than the New Testament of grace and mercy. So you're asking questions of the scripture. Maybe you think, why didn't God just start with grace? That would make a lot more sense, right? Maybe you're having a difficult time making sense of who God is. When you start asking questions like that, I want to encourage you to keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Here's why. Because that is where the real growth happens. That's where the real growth happens. It doesn't happen when it's easy to believe everything. When life is easy and comfortable, that's not when growth happens. Growth happens when there's difficult things, difficult questions, doubts. That is where growth really happens. You know why? Because that's when you're deepening your roots. In the 1980s, there was a scientific experiment that these scientists got together, and they wanted to see if they could have a controlled environment in which they could essentially sustain a pretty, you know, large ecosystem. And so they did a biosphere. They wanted to be in within the biosphere to see if they could kind of control all that thing. And everything started out really, really great. The trees were actually growing much faster than trees outside of the biosphere. So they were super excited about it. But then all of a sudden, the trees just started falling over. Scientists were baffled. They were like, what in the world? Why in the world are they? So they quickly got one of the trees, and they were analyzing it, looking at it. They started looking at the root system, and they realized the roots were not growing as mature as the ones outside. And so they started asking themselves, well, what's the variable? What did we neglect to remember? And then they thought about it. Wind. There was no wind inside the biosphere. The thing that brings resistance against the trees was not inside that biosphere. And trees, when the wind comes against them, they dig their roots down deeper. That's what it should be like for us. When we have those doubts, when we're facing those, our roots should grow deeper because of the resistance and the doubts and the questions that we have. Listen to Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So when you're struggling in your faith, first, know that you're not alone. There's so many of us that have gone through this. Most of us struggle at some point in our faith. But second, keep going to God for the answers. Keep pursuing him for the answers. That's what it means to be a disciple. In first century Judaism, there were three schools for students that they would progress through. The first one was called Bet Sefer, and it was like elementary school. Girls and boys would both go to this, and most of that was just memorizing the Torah. They would memorize the first five books of the Bible for us, right? They would spend that time doing that. Then there was a second schooling, and this was called the Bet Talmud, which was only for boys 10 through 12. And what they would do is then they would study what other great teachers had said about the scriptures, kind of their interpretation of the scriptures. And then finally, the brightest of the brightest, so the most learned ones, the ones that really caught on, the ones that could understand the interpretations, they would go on and they would be part of the school called Bet Midrash. And what they would do is they would find a rabbi that they agreed with their interpretations, and they would ask that rabbi, can I now be your Talmud? A Talmud is a disciple. Can I be your disciple? And if they were permitted to be that rabbi's disciple, they would follow him everywhere. And the end goal for them was to imitate their rabbi's actions and deeds, speech, and conduct. You know what always fascinates me? Is that Jesus' disciples did not ask to follow Jesus. Jesus came to them, and he asked them to follow him. He comes to James and John as they're fishing, and he says, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He goes to Matthew at his tax collector's booth and says, follow me. Jesus still calls his disciples. If you're sitting in here and you've understood that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, not only that can save you from hell, but also can save you in what this life is supposed to look like, then guess what? You're under the tutelage of Rabbi Jesus. He is your rabbi. The decision to follow Jesus is not just that get out of hell free pass. It's a lifelong process of becoming more like our rabbi. That's exactly what it is. We're learning to imitate his actions, his deeds, his speech, and his conduct. At Community Fellowship, we believe to become more like our rabbi, there are three crucial practices: Bible study, prayer, and community. As part of the Bet Midrash, a disciple would learn all that their rabbi had to say about Scripture. But here's the really crazy part. Rabbis during the first century, they did not want to write any of their thoughts about the Scripture down because they didn't feel like it was equal to the weight of Scripture, understandably. They didn't want it to be written down because they didn't want to be confused with what they believed Holy Scripture to be. So what a disciple had to do at that time under the tutelage of their rabbi was to memorize everything that they said. They had to learn it. Here's what's crazy. Jesus' words got written down. I wonder why. Because his words are the weight of Scripture. They are Scripture. Right? And the second reason they wrote them down is because the disciples knew that if they passed away, they needed something for the other disciples to be able to cling to. And so they wrote it down for them. When you think about all that people have suffered to make God's word available to us, it's a shame that we don't cherish it more. It's heartbreaking. Because the Bible is the primary place where we learn what our rabbi taught. We should devour it like a starving animal on a piece of meat. That's how important it should be to us. And listen, we have tried to show that importance here at Community Fellowship. We've said Bible studies are absolutely important. We have year-round Bible studies that meet so that you can be a part of that. Whether you're a guy or a girl, we have one available for you. We also have a year-round reading plan that you can read the Bible. We even have, right now, media, where you can go on and you can stream books, the whole books of the Bible, where they are talked about in depth as to what the interpretation and meaning of those books of the Bible mean. So it's not for lack that we have been trying to say and communicate, this is absolutely crucial, it's absolutely important practice for you to be a part of. So please, if you aren't already, begin reading God's word. It's absolutely crucial practice because it's the clearest place where we see what Jesus' followers are supposed to be, who we're supposed to be. Now, there's also another resource if you want to grab it on the way out. At the Connect counter, there's a little bookmark which teaches you how to study God's word. It's a four-step process. It teaches you how to study God's word. I would encourage you to do that. Maybe you're asking the question, okay, but where do I start? Start with John. Start with the Gospel of John. It's a great place to start. John loves the use of sevens. Okay, so look for the sevens. There's seven statements about Jesus' title, who Jesus is. There's seven I am statements that Jesus makes. There's even seven signs that Jesus performs to prove who he is as God. So start with John. It's as simple as that. But make Bible study, make God's word a priority in your life. Now, the second practice that we said is part of the habit of growing continually is prayer. And I've mentioned this quote before, but it's definitely worth repeating. So famed English pastor Charles Spurgeon, he was once asked, what's more important, Bible study or prayer? And his response was, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? I love that. See, studying God's word is breathing in his love, his heart, and his ways. In fact, the Bible's own claim about Scripture is that it is theopneustos, which means God breathed. That's what it means. But the other part of that is the breathing out. And breathing out is prayer. It's where we get to express our hearts, our feelings, our emotions to God. Because God desires a real relationship with us. That's what he wants. He wants a living relationship with us. Relationships are hard though, right? Relationships are difficult. If you're in a good relationship, you know that it's difficult because we have our individual wills that we're bringing into this thing. And we kind of battle with each other sometimes. Yet one of the greatest tools we have in those difficult times in relationships is communication. How many times have you heard that when you're talking about marriage? Communication, 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 right? Sharing your thoughts and your feelings with your significant other and listening to their thoughts and their feelings and making sure you're communicating well. Our relationship with God is no different. It's no different. Just as much as God wants us to hear him, God also wants to hear us. He wants us to share our hearts with him. Some of you might be thinking, well, I don't have the most pleasant things to say to God right now. I'm a little bit frustrated, a little bit upset with him. You know what? God can take it. He's a pretty big God. He can take it. I've even had moments in my life where I've cried out in such strong anger where I said, why? Why did you let that happen? I thought you were a loving God. But God's big enough to hear our anger. Some of you, you grew up in a tradition where you don't feel like you can express your feelings to God because you're afraid he's going to throw a lightning bolt at you. Can I just tell you something? That's not the Christian God. That's Zeus. Okay? Our God is a loving father who cares deeply about what's going on in your life. He wants you to bring that to him. If that wasn't the truth, why in the world will we have one of the longest books in the Bible, Psalms, which was actually the Hebrew prayer book, where 65 of the Psalms are Psalms of lament, where someone is crying out to God in anger about the injustice that's going on in their life? Why would God include that in the scriptures if that wasn't the truth, that he wants to hear your hurt and your pain? He wants you to bring that to him. Prayer has to be a regular practice in your life. It's vital. It's vital. It's crucial. Not just for when you're going through the difficult circumstances. Not just for then. Not just when you need help. But you have to stay connected with God's heart. Because as you pray, he pours his heart back out to you too. You find that. You find that you start aligning with what he wants. As you continue to bring your heart and you continue to read God's word, you start aligning with who he is and what he says. That's why the early church knew that it was a practice they were supposed to devote themselves to. That's why they did. They knew that prayer was an important piece of having a relationship with God. For more on prayer, I really encourage you. We started this year with a series on prayer where we looked at the Lord's Prayer and we kind of walked through it line by line. I totally encourage you to go online. It's called Teach Us to Pray. Go online and listen to that series so you can kind of walk through prayer and learn how to pray like Jesus wanted us to pray. Okay, last practice that we think is going to help you grow continually, and that's community. Look back at the Acts text. It says that the early church devoted themselves to fellowship. To fellowship. That's partially where we get our name, right? The early church, they were devoted to being together, to being in community. They shared everything together. That's what that word means. They shared everything together. They shared time, they shared meals, but most importantly, they shared their lives. They shared their lives with one another. And this is what it looks like to be in true Christian community, opening up your life with others. Because it's in community that we're challenged. It's where we're encouraged. It's where we're equipped. See, our Christian life, the experience of following Jesus, is not done alone. It's a group project. I don't know about you, but in high school, I hated group projects. I absolutely hated them for two reasons. Either one, I was going to get stuck doing all the work, right? Or second, I didn't get my way in it. Like, I like having my way. I'm going to give you a little clue. You do too. All right? We all like having things our way, but in community, that's where there's pushback and there's challenge, and that's where we grow. Again, we grow when things are pushed back against us. Now, you know, it might be that normally we have something sarcastic that we're going to say, right? We might quip back with something kind of sarcastic, but somebody in community with us, somebody in our group, might challenge that and say, hey, was that the most loving and truthful thing to say or way to say it? We're challenged in community. Or maybe you're feeling really sorry for yourself and all you want to do is be isolated. You just want to be by yourself. I don't want anybody to be around me. The community says, no, 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 no. Come with us. We're going to remind you that you are valuable and that you are loved by us as a community. It's crucial. This is why I regularly say up here, get in a smaller group. Sundays are incredible. We love seeing you, but you need to be known. Sometimes it's really easy to come in and not be known. You need to be known. You need to be in a group, a smaller group, that people can know you and know what's going on in your life. Maybe it's one of the Bible studies that we've already got going on, or maybe you want to start one on your own. Do it. Do it. There's nothing stopping you. But be in a smaller group where you can be real, where you can be yourself, where you can express your feelings, your hurts, your angers, so you can grow with other people and that you can be challenged by other people. But you do that because you're committed to Jesus. Because Jesus didn't die for me. This is going to sound super cliche, but he died for we. Right? It wasn't just for me. It was for the church, for all of us. He died for we. So be a part of community. Now, these practices that we just mentioned, they help us grow continually in our faith. But the key to these practices, the key that's going to unlock every single one of these, is an authentic relationship with Jesus. It's not like you just do these things and it's going to be magic. That's not how it works. Okay? You have to be about Jesus. You have to center yourself on him. Constant reminder that God loved his church so much that he sent his son to die in their place. He took our punishment for our sin. That has to always be in the forefront of our mind. In any of these practices, it has to be about what Jesus has done, the gospel truth. It was Christ in our place. He took our place. And when we're convinced of this truth, it gives these practices meaning. They have purpose. They're not just something to do. There's a reason that you do them because of what Jesus has done. You know what would be absolutely absurd? Is if one of my girls just stopped growing. They just stopped. Right? Stunted. That would be absolutely absurd. And as much as sometimes I say that, like I love that, like just stop growing. I just love you right now where you're at. Don't grow anymore. Right? I would be concerned. I would be really worried if that indeed really did happen. Because we know they're supposed to grow. They're supposed to mature. If they stop getting taller, if they stop getting more intelligent, I would be really, really worried. Because all living things are supposed to grow. I wonder this morning, what about your relationship with Christ? Is it growing? Is it growing? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, absolutely, it's growing. I see where God is changing me, where he's making me more like Jesus. That's awesome. In a minute when we pray, will you just thank the Lord what he's doing in your life, that he's maturing you and growing you? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm not growing. I'm not growing. And maybe as we were talking, maybe you realize it's because one of the practices that we talked about that you're not doing. You're not taking part in them. I encourage you in a minute, whenever we pray, to ask the Lord to show you, God, how can I grow? How can I continue to mature in my faith? What is it that I'm missing? Some of you in here, you've never been born into the family. You've never been born into the family. What I just talked about, how it all centers on understanding exactly what Jesus has done for us, you've never made that decision. You've never trusted in what Jesus has done. And so you can't grow in your faith because you have no faith. If that's you in a minute when I pray, and if you really feel like the Lord's convicting you to trust in what Jesus has done, I'm going to encourage you to pray and invite him to be Lord, to let him lead you. I want to close with Paul's words again. Listen to what he said to the Ephesians. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let's pray. Father God, I pray this prayer over those sitting in these seats. God, the same prayer that Pastor Paul prayed over the Ephesians, I pray for this community. God, that each of them would know how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Jesus Christ for them. And God, they would continue to grow and mature, being rooted deeply in that love. God, so that we can continue to show this world the glory of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We pray this in his name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.